So about a month ago, I got some tingles that I kind of wanted to try to write a Christmas song. And so I did write some stuff down, but nothing official. There's not going to be a song today. Sorry to crush those dreams immediately for you. But what I did enjoy about it, absolutely, just I wanted to get it right out of the way. Because what I appreciated about that experience was that when I was looking for things that I wanted to write a song about, I didn't really want to write about Santa or reindeer or Christmas cookies or something. And so I sat down and I read through all four of the Christmas stories in the Gospels. I say four, there's sort of only two, if you really break it down, and we'll talk about that more. But one of the things I realized was that almost all of my Christmas story knowledge, really it just comes from the book of Luke. And I imagine that's because that was the first book I ever did Bible quizzing on. So I read Luke a lot of times that year. And Luke's just kind of, I realized that's been, in my head, the gospel I kind of go to probably the most. And Luke's great, you know. Luke includes some important things. It does talk about John the Baptist's birth a lot more. We get the whole backstory on Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. We get the song of Zechariah. We get the song of Mary. We get the interactions between Mary and Elizabeth. And, you know, a little bit past Christmas time, we get Jesus in the temple and meeting the two prophets that are both very excited to see him. So Luke's pretty good. But we could also go back and we could talk about Matthew, and I was like, man, Matthew's got some stuff that I had just completely forgotten about. Some of you probably know that Matthew compiles the total genealogy of Jesus, which is great. It makes sure not to exclude the very important women that are part of that line. And it ends with Jesus being the Son of God. It starts to set up that Trinitarian theology that we develop fully later on. And of course, we know that Mary gets visited by an angel. And we probably know that Joseph gets visited by an angel. But after the Magi visit and leave, did you remember that an angel visits Joseph again and tells him and his family to flee, of all places, to Egypt? Which I just have so many questions about, because I'm thinking about all the time we've spent talking about Israel trying to get out of Egypt. And then here's Jesus having to get in. And I'm like, I wonder, did they have to sneak in? Was it an easy process? Was it a difficult process? Was it totally cool? Was it scary? Were they always in Egypt kind of in secret, taking maybe more menial jobs or whatnot, just kind of survive? But certainly we can take from that Jesus was a refugee for the early part of his life. And he wasn't a refugee all the time, so to speak, but it's a good reminder that everybody needs help once in a while. And I think it's also, there's a certain irony in it, because of course in that story we find Joseph returning to his hometown to register, much in the same way that, and less so these days, but in the past, during this time of year, we often travel to our familial homes, which end up usually being our hometowns. So there's a certain coincidence, certain sense of irony there. And then on the back end, we have John, which is, I guess it doesn't have a traditional birth Christmas story, but it does talk about where Jesus came from and who Jesus is. It gives us an entirely theological view of Christ. And again, really focuses on what will become a Trinitarian theology later on. John begins his gospel by tying it into Judaism's understanding of God. And it's in a style reminiscent, at least to me, of the Judaistic storytelling that we see in the Old Testament. John knows that Jesus was born, but what is also important to John is that Jesus has always been. And of course, we can't forget Mark, even though Mark doesn't include the story at all. It's not there. But I like that. I think that Mark is a good reminder for us that even if Christmas were to go away, and the war on Christmas as we hear about is successful, I think that it'll be okay for us as Christians. We'll still be able to go on without it. But in the meantime, let's clasp our holiday Starbucks cups close and make sure to shun anyone who should dare say to us, "Happy holidays." How dare you? And I've also been thinking about the Christian calendar, which I don't know if this one's set up exactly the same way. It seems Advent's here, so kind of like this if I'm thinking about the way Emily talked about it. And, you know, we have these times of the year. We have, obviously, Advent, what we're in now, what we're talking about. And then we go right into Christmas. We have the birth of Christ. We have the life of Christ. We have the death of Christ. And right after that, we have the outpouring of the Spirit. And that's great. Jesus is great. The Holy Spirit's pretty great. But I was thinking to myself, looking at this calendar, and I was like, where is God in this calendar? Where is Adonai? And I know that that seems silly, right? Like the answer is, oh, he's the whole thing. He's like all of it. And, you know, or he's everywhere Jesus and the Holy Spirit aren't. Like, he gets the rest of this, you know? God gets the rest of this. And those aren't bad answers, but it still feels a little, I don't know, feels a little bit like we're reaching for something that we haven't done intentionally. And I don't think that was done on purpose. I don't think it was done as an affront against God. I do wonder a little bit if our calendar, as it's ended up, was a little bit of a reaction to Judaism and trying to move towards Jesus with Christianity. Much in the same way we might think about how oftentimes Protestantism has reacted against Catholicism for no reason other than because we needed to be separate and we needed to be different. And don't get me wrong, talked about the Trinity today already, and I get that, right? We believe that to know Jesus is to know God, is to know the Spirit. To know any one part of God's being is to know all of God's being. I don't not believe that. I'm not saying that that's not true, but I still wonder, where in the calendar do we just talk about God, that one? And, you know, that theology is also, I don't want to say exposed, but reinforced by something that's also still a very modern belief for us. If we consider a child, a young child, we would always say that they're in an age of innocence. And until they're old enough to know right from wrong or good from evil, we look at them as blameless. And if someone were to have an unfortunate incident to lose a child or a baby while they're very young, I don't think, I don't want to speak for anyone in the room, but, you know, I certainly believe that they would go to heaven. It seems like a bit of a stretch. It's a nice thing to say, but I think it can also be a very true thing to say. I think it is a true thing to say because a child is still created by God. And a child lives in the created order created by God. And so all of us, even when we are born, even when we are very little, we already know God, whether we know it or not. And as I've already said, to know God is to know all three persons. But I don't, you know, and again, I know it's kind of literal, I know I'm kind of picking at strings here, but I think when we talk about those young children, they're too young to say, well, that child is too young to know Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, I don't know Christ. I do, but I don't, okay? I mean, my middle name's Paul, but I still didn't have God appear to me. I didn't have Christ appear to me, okay? It didn't happen. But that doesn't mean I don't know Christ, because I believe in Christ, and so the Holy Spirit is in me. And by that Spirit, I know Christ. And by that Spirit, I know God. And by my creation, I know God. And by knowing God, I know the Spirit, and I know Jesus. It all works together, right? Something about an apple. Forget how that whole thing works. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead in my notes a little bit here. And so thinking about the calendar, I don't see any reason, for one point, that Advent can't be a time when we're really thinking about God, about Adonai. It is before the person of Christ actually enters our world. It is before the Spirit of Christ actually enters into us, although again, of course, there's lots of evidence that the Spirit was always working, even through the Old Testament. Additionally, if you've been paying attention to our lectionary passages, especially from Isaiah, and even from the Psalms, they're great passages, and they make a lot of sense if Advent is about Jesus. After all, they're prophesying the Messiah coming. But they aren't exactly uplifting. They're cries for help. Today we read, O comfort my people. You know, and I love this line. It's something you see in the Psalms a lot. This one's actually from Isaiah, I believe. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. I mean, man, it's poetic, but it's pretty down there. Now, Isaiah and a lot of the Psalms, they define Israel in this time as it was a destroyed nation, a nation in exile, taken over by Babylon and controlled by it. Yes, Isaiah prophesies the coming of a savior, but that's not the time it finds itself in. It finds itself in a time of darkness, of pain, and desolation. And I don't know exactly why God has opened up this new way of thinking about this time of Advent to me this year. It feels really strange, even to me and my cold heart, to look at the lovely Christmas lights lighting up a home or a business and feeling a sense of hopelessness, just a sense. Not because anything's wrong, but because in this time, we are without a savior. To read emails punctuated with garland and ornaments, and to just feel a little bit lost, just a little bit. Not because anything's bad, but because we also are in many ways still in exile. To be around even the church as we make treats and calendars and prepare for the new year, and to feel the need to cry out, not just from being an introvert. Not because there's not love and peace, but because the true celebration has not yet arrived. I find myself entering into this season in a new way, impatient for Christ, because I find myself begging for God to forgive his people and to pardon our sins. In this, our season of lights, I find myself being forced to remember that before hope arrived and arrives, darkness seemed to be prevailing. And it prevailed for a long time. I did mostly just some rough Googling, and the exact dates are estimates. But from the destruction by Babylon to Jesus' birth, at least 400 years passed, probably closer to 550 or even 600 years. But that's a long time. It was a long time to wait. And this wait would again lead to another Exodus that would again lead to a law, a very poetic way, a new law, but a law nonetheless, a law that would fulfill the prior, but also bring hope. It feels strange to preach to you to be downcast as we wait for the Christ child, because we know what will happen and what has happened. And I don't want you to be sad and put on sackcloth. It's not what my message is today. But I do wonder if the church could benefit by spending more time considering the world before Jesus entered into it. Into the world when we only were really aware of God, of Adonai. Maybe we need to make Advent a little longer, or we could start our calendar back a few more weeks. Both good options. And so my final thought today in thinking about all of this was this. I think that we, as Christians, we often get so hung up on entering into the mystery, the enormous mystery of the cross, that we also forget to enter into the intricate mystery of the birth. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful today for all of these people and the wonderful season of time that you give us in these few weeks, Lord. And even in a world and a country that declares itself to be roughly half Christian now, we're still surrounded by people who celebrate the season with us, just in different times and sometimes in different ways. But I thank you, Lord, to see your joy, your peace, your love, your hope, and ultimately even Christ enter the world. Help us, Lord, in this time of Advent to remember that it's not all flashy lights and new presents. Help us to remember the songs like, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Help us to remember this time of waiting, Lord. Help us to always be impatient for your presence, no matter which of the three presences it may be. We ask these things in your name. Amen.